Everybody, I'm Tom Dorsey.
I'm Jay Gragnani.
And I'm Tommy Doyle.
It's the 16th of April, 2018, and there's a whole lot of cool stuff today, right? It's Patriots Day, number one.
Yeah. It's Elephant Day.
Elephant Day is also. It's Mushroom Day.
Eggs Benedict Day.
Eggs Benedict Day. You can get this by Googling it. It's April 16th. Yeah, these are all days.
No, I know. It's funny. Every single day of the year now has a day. There's something that you can celebrate on that day.
Why didn't I have Eggs Benedict this morning?
We didn't know till now.
You gotta look at it the night before.
You gotta look at it tomorrow.
You gotta look at it the night before. Yeah. But it is Patriots Day, which also, for those of you in Boston, is a day where the Boston Marathon's run today. So good luck to all of you participating in the Boston Marathon. It's in the 30s and raining up there. So God bless you and good luck to you. And then,
do you know where I'm from?
I do.
Where am I from?
Boston area, Everett. Everett? Yeah, okay.
It's just a stone's throw from Boston.
Yeah.
A strong man's throw?
No. Up around Boston, you've got all these little towns, you know, little hamlets. And they're like, you drive through one, and 30 seconds later, you hit the next one. Mm. And they have their own police force. Everett has his own police force, and Danvers has his own police force. And you just keep on going through these little small hamlets. It's different than here.
Yeah. Big counties here.
So, yeah. Well, at any rate.
Yeah, so market, so far, I mean, Monday we come in, market's up today. And it's interesting, you know, we were looking back earlier and just kind of this year, we're through the first quarter and headed now into April. And we're just looking at, you know, this year and in contrast a little bit to last year in terms of just the volatility that we've seen. And there's lots of ways to measure volatility. And, you know, a lot of the things that a lot of the media holds on to in terms of volatility is the VIX. And, you know, that's certainly one level of volatility. One level and way to look at volatility that I think hits a little bit closer to home and something that you and your clients could probably relate to is just, you know, how many days this year has the market moved up or down 1% or more? You know, those are the days that you and your clients are actually feeling. And it's interesting when you go back and you look at it so far this year, there's now been 30 days this year that the market has moved up or down 1%. And that's out of a total of 71 days now of actual trading days so far in 2018. Yeah. That is compared to just 8 in all of 2017. And, you know, so when you think about the volatility and what your clients are feeling this year, that's what we're feeling, you know, the volatile days. And that's not necessarily saying they're all down. That's both up 1% or more or down 1% or more today.
Well, they're feeling nothing happening. I mean, when the customer looks at the portfolio and says, nothing's going on. I haven't made any money and I'm at a position now, Friday night, you might have thought that Monday morning this market is going to be down big time. It could have escalated into a major war.
Yeah.
But the market likes to climb a wall of worry. But what you have here, customer looks at his account. Okay, so if you own the Standard & Poor's 500 cap weight, you're down 0.65 year to date. If you own the equal weight, and not considering the ETF where you have to actually pay for the ETF, but the equal weight, you're down 1.33%.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. 60/40, you're down 1.20%.
Yeah.
Small cap, Russell 2000, up 0.91.
Yeah.
So There hasn't been much going on at all here this year. Up, down, 600 points up, 300 points down, 400 points down, 500 points up.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this in my tenure. I've seen big down days where you've lost 22% in one day, but not this many back and forth.
It's every day. Every other day you're getting these big swings. And, and you know, what we've seen, and we've talked about it before, is, you know, you're seeing a lot of these big swings, but what we really haven't seen is any type of leadership changes underneath the surface. When you look underneath the surface, and you mentioned there's not a lot going on the surface in terms of the S&P 500 and its returns this year, when you look underneath the surface, there really have been some pockets of strength, in particular things like technology and industrials, those areas of the market. And you look at sector rotation strategies, so something like the Focus 5 model or those ETFs out there that are designed to be sector rotation in nature, they are, you know, so far this year up 4 to 5% on the year, where in a year so far that the market is basically down. So drilling underneath the surface, seeing what is actually working, is certainly something that has paid so far this year, and even to some extent last year with things like technology. And that hasn't changed. You know, we still see technology leading. One of the areas that is certainly worth noting, though, here that we've talked about is the energy space in general. And energy is another good example from the commodity and the stock side of looking underneath the surface a little bit and identifying those areas of opportunity can be really important. And you don't have to look past the two biggest names in the energy space to really see the divergence that's happening with some of the stocks in energy. You look at Chevron as an example. Chevron's a stock that's in a positive trend, held its support line recently, broke out, gave another buy signal here just last week. It's a strong attribute name, and you contrast that picture with that of its counterpart, ExxonMobil, XOM, and that chart couldn't look any different than Exxon. Couldn't look any different than Chevron, excuse me. Exxon's in a negative trend, is a weak attribute name. And so, you know, understanding what's going on underneath the surface, looking at some of those individual names, not only from a sector standpoint, but from individual stock standpoint, is still going to be tremendously important going forward.
Yeah, and along with that, you mentioned earlier the crude oil continuous breakout that we saw.
Yeah.
Even today, and going back even further for what JG was talking about in terms of finding leadership, looking under the surface, one place you can do that on the website is within the pre-made matrices. So if you're on the platform, under the Tools tab at the very top, you can go to Matrix, and then from there you can click on the pre-made matrices button at the top. And what we were looking at earlier was the asset class matrix. It's one of those popular pre-mades. It's got 34 different ETFs in there. And what's been interesting is to see DBO, the oil name, has cracked the top 10. It's moved up 8 spots in the past month. And now you're seeing it rank above things like the S&P Equal Weight, like Vanguard Total Stock Market and the PowerShares S&P Top 50. And you've got other things in there like mid-cap, small-cap, base metals, emerging markets, and the Qs. So that's a place where you can see some movement happening underneath the surface, all on a relative strength basis.
I bought oil last week, actual crude oil. I looked at the chart, CL forward slash, looked fantastic. So I bought the futures. And then Friday night comes, we're setting an attack on Syria. I got it made now. Nope. Oil went down, stock market went up.
Yeah.
So you never know. The market likes to climb a wall of worry. Friday night brought in one more worry.
Yep.
By the same token, if it escalated into a Middle East war, could have been a meltdown.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Either way.
And yeah, we'll still see. I mean, crude oil, you look at the chart today and the chart of crude oil still looks
positive. It looks great. It looks fantastic.
Still looks good. And that's all, you know, coming under this guise of the chart of the U.S. dollar. And the U.S. dollar is not something that, you know, we've talked a ton about because there hasn't really been any material change on the chart since in over a year now. But in May of last year, May of 2017, the default chart, so if you pull up DX/Y, is the chart of the U.S. dollar, moved into a negative trend in May of last year and remains in a negative trend today and has consistently produced lower tops and lower lows. And right now it's at an interesting point where it's consolidating here over the past couple months, has been consolidating. Watch for a move to 91. 91 on the U.S. dollar is a potential initial buy signal off the bottom. Wouldn't change the trend back to being positive, but it would be a buy signal off the bottom coming in the confines of a negative trend, and would really be the first potential positive sign that would come out of the dollar. But the strength, not coincidentally, in a lot of these commodities have come during this period where the dollar has continually been in a negative trend and continuing to move lower.
Here's the way I'd play it. If you want to play this dollar off the bottom here, buy signal at 91 even. Look like 91,
yep, 91,
91, 91 even, and I would put a stop in on a new bottom at 88. So that way you can just leave it, buy it right there, put a stop in at 88, you're done.
Yep, that's certainly one way to do it, and one vehicle if you wanted to do it in an exchange traded fund. There's an ETF out there with PowerShares. The symbol is UUP, which is a PowerShares bullish U.S. dollar ETF, if that was something that you wanted to buy.
What is that symbol again?
UUP.
That's it, UUP?
UUP. And
let's
so
see how that looks relative to it.
You have a pretty similar picture there. You could look at a 10-cent chart to speed it up to look at it a little bit faster, but that UUP chart is designed to invest in U.S. dollar futures contracts if you didn't want to go the actual futures route and do the ETF thing. As a caveat, it is buying futures contracts inside of an ETF, so be aware of K-1 issues or at least K-1 statements with the UUP, but nonetheless it is a vehicle that offers that. There's a counterpart to that is UDN, Union David Nancy, is the bearish U.S. dollar fund. So if you wanted to make a bet on a bearish dollar, that would be the way to do it there.
I would just buy the future.
Or you could just buy the future. You could mainline it and go right to the source.
Mainline it.
Buy the future. The ETFs are available for those of you who don't have your proper paperwork in.
Right. Now you got some interesting stock ideas.
Yeah, I've been talking with a lot of advisors over the past couple of weeks, looking for stock ideas, looking for things that maybe on buy signals, maybe are positive divergers moving to all-time highs or holding up well, not going back to flirt with February. And a lot of the names have been similar themes. Again, they've been technology, they've been healthcare, they've been defense. Some of the names that have been screaming off the list have been things like CRM, Salesforce. Mm-hmm. That chart looks great. Its weekly distribution is at 6%. It's a high attribute name within software. You've also seen things like Danaher, the longest standing relative strength buy signal versus the S&P equal weighted index going back to June of 1993. Still looks great today. It's got four attributes. You do have earnings coming up on Thursday, so that's something to be aware of. But still, that's a great stock that looks good for the long haul. In terms of the defense area, Northrop Grumman has kind of separated itself. The chart looks very good. It's right near the middle of the trading band. You've got a lot of support built in. And if you look at it on a relative strength basis versus the Lockheeds, versus the General Dynamics and Raytheons of the world, you are going to see some favoring Northrop over those names. So much to my chagrin, because I'm a Lockheed guy, maybe I need to make the transfer myself and go into Northrop.
Yeah, I was just getting, Northrop is an interesting one in and of itself. And as you're looking through individual ideas, that's one thing to look at is a picture like Northrop that has been able to actually show a positive divergence against the market. In other words, Northrop has moved to new highs this month where the market has not yet been able to do so. So, you know, you look at stocks, and if you're looking through ideas, that's one little nuance and subtlety to look at is stocks that have been leading and positively diverging from this market.
Another one that looks great is Netflix. So Netflix, if you look at the NASDAQ 100, ranks first out of the 103 stocks within that index on a relative strength basis. Today they had earnings. They're pulling back nicely down to roughly 300-305, return to a buy signal after pulling back with the rest of the market. But you know, you're still well above February, you're above your support, you've got two ways to get out of the position, and you got two levels of resistance at, call it the 320, 316 range, and then the all-time high at 332. Another one that looks great.
Yeah, there's lots of, absolutely, lots of good-looking names out there. In the same token, there are individual names, there are stocks that have broken down that certainly need your attention and focus on the portfolio to weed out of there and get into some of these stronger names. And so, you know, as we did at home a little bit this weekend, a little spring cleaning never hurts. Get some of those stocks that are not working, that are not contributing to the overall portfolio, get those out and look towards some of these stronger names that are leading the market higher.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else?
So with that, for those of you who are planning on coming to Vegas May 3rd and 4th for our institute, we will look forward to see you out there in a couple weeks.
Yeah. See you soon.